Hi, and welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I am your host, Shauna Simao. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. Research from Sales Enablement Pro found that organizations that invest in sales enablement tools are 25% more confident to be proving their team's impact. So why is it so important to invest in the right sales enablement tools? Here to discuss this topic is Bob Boritz, the Director of Sales Enablement, and Trula Hensler, the Senior Manager of Sales Enablement and Operations at Baker Tilly US. Thanks for joining us, Bob and Trula. I would love for you to tell us about yourselves, your background, and your role.
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Bob Boritz. I'm a Director in Sales Enablement. My career has been in a number of different areas. I've worked in sales, sales training, leadership development, after sale or post sale support, and then now most recently sales enablement. And throughout the years, my focus has been on learning and teaching the sales process, along with the activities and behaviors that support the sales process or support selling. And that's really where I'm at today with Baker Tilly with that main area of focus.
Wonderful. And Trula, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm as you mentioned, senior manager here at Baker Tilly in sales enablement. And my career has mostly been spent in marketing and sales management. About 5 years before coming to Baker Tilly, I decided to dip my toes back into selling and spent 5 years doing that for a public media company. I loved doing that, came to Baker Tilly, spent my first 9 years here with marketing and leading a team here at Baker Tilly that worked with our biggest industry practice. And then from there, I got the opportunity to work with and develop the sales enablement effort that we were beginning to realize we needed at Baker Tilly. One of the cool things was about 2.5 years in, you know, our sales enablement efforts really took off. And that was when we realized how much more we needed. And enter Bob Boritz. We went out and found the best to come in and be our sales enablement leader and to begin to take us into new areas. One of them was HighSpot, as a matter of fact.
I love to hear that. And Bob, one of your key responsibilities as an enablement leader is to enhance productivity and ultimately revenue growth. How does enablement help drive productivity for your business?
Well, I come from the belief that sales enablement in my job is the absolute most important job in the entire company. And I hope everybody feels that way about their job, but I feel that way about mine. And the reason being is because in the enablement arena, our job, our mission, our focus is to generate revenue for the organization through sellers. So we have to enable our sellers to do that. And if they don't do that, well, then we don't survive as an organization because we don't generate the revenue. And so within our team here at Baker Tilly, we created our own personal mission statement. We define sales enablement and our mission is a three-prong approach to provide education, information, and support to our sellers in a way that increases revenue and at the same time decreases the complexity of their job. And when we think of education, we think about the selling skills, you know, upskilling. We think about information. It's all the content and the insights and the changes that are going on within our firm and within the marketplace. Then we think about support. We'll often think about things such as onboarding. Think about coaching, think about reboarding. And when we put all of those together, those things hopefully are a nice equation to do just that, help us to meet our mission, which then produces a positive ROI from our sales team to increase the revenue that we hope that they will be able to generate for us.
Absolutely. I love that definition. And in my intro, I mentioned that stat around the ability for tools to help really make sure that we're confident in proving our team's impact, especially so for enablement. In your opinion, what role does an enablement platform play in helping to improve productivity, Bob?
There's a number of things. You know, when the first thing that I think about when I'm thinking about a platform is kind of a single source of truth. You know, can we get all of our sellers to go to one spot? We've got all the different variations and all the different locations and SharePoint sites and data that's saved to their computer. Having a single source of truth is a big win, just in terms of having the appropriate amount of content and the accuracy of the content. But in addition to that, statistics suggest that people invest anywhere between 5 and 12 hours in a given week searching for things. So you and I and everybody else, we're online, we're searching. And having a platform that has everything in one spot generally speaking, should suppress the amount of time that we're searching. If we can go to one spot to that enablement platform to find what we need and go there consistently, know how to use it, how it functions, that will help with that. Another element, though, within a platform is the concept of being able to take your messaging and your content and being able to customize it for your seller. So when you think about a marketer, in my view, how I think about it is marketing is creating a go-to-market approach. They want to get their products and services to market. And enablement is about going to sales, who then will go to market. So we're a subset of that function. And what we can do with a platform is we can take the message, the go-to-market message, and we can tweak it, and we can enhance it, and we can provide the insights that maybe are not normally included in a go-to-market strategy, but provide that seller and equip him or her with the insights that that they need to be successful. And then the last thing I would say about a platform is that, you know, a solid sales enablement platform is actually a revenue generation tool too. So we use our tool for outreach, to pitch and to share content, to gain insights from our clients as it relates to what's being consumed. But it's interesting, there's a subset of that data that we find incredibly valuable, and that is when that data is shared with other people. So when we share something and we find out that there's other people that are involved, that is a huge win for us, because statistics also show that there's 5 to 6 different buyers involved in a typical purchase. And often we are calling on the decision maker when reality is there's a group of decision makers. And when we can find more of those stakeholders, it provides an awful lot of insight. So those are a few examples and how I see an enablement platform providing additional value and helping with productivity.
I love that. And those are some spot on statistics that you've been referencing as well. Now, Trula, to shift gears a little bit, you've been at Baker Tilly for about 12 years working in both marketing and sales enablement. Given this experience, can you share a little bit about Baker Tilly's enablement journey prior to investing in an enablement platform? What maybe were some of the challenges that were facing your team?
You know, I love this question because brings back a lot of good memories, and a lot of the memories in our firm where over the years we have come up with some amazing solutions, and this obviously has been one of them. You know, having been a seller myself and then worked in marketing and working with the teams I worked with, some of the different areas that we were struggling with was, as Bob mentioned, that single source of truth. We had content everywhere. Being an accounting and business advisory firm, this is something that we produce a lot of. We have a lot of content, a lot of thought leadership. So content management became key. You know, we needed an area that we could find our sales-related information as well as any marketing information that we wanted them to be able to share. Another thing that we found a little bit challenging was the ability to identify where we might have gaps. Those gaps might be, you know, do we have the collateral that we need in these areas? When a leader would look at it, you know, they knew that they had the collateral that they had created or the articles that they may have generated, but we didn't have any one area where they could look at it and see, ooh, we probably need this for our salespeople, our practitioners, something further to help them be valuable. The other thing we really struggled with was certain teams were doing this better than other teams, but that was, you know, what to know, you know, what to say, right? What to show and what to do. That was something that we really found challenging. And then when we began to look at HighSpot, it was right after COVID. In fact, COVID was still in motion. And that really changed our landscape. It changed how we went to sales. It changed how we went to market. And now all of a sudden, we have to begin to figure out how can we be personable, have a relationship virtually. And more importantly, everybody and their brother was sending everybody an email, right? It became a waterfall of emails, a waterfall of information. So then our challenge became, how do we differentiate? How do we stand out? And so that was one of our challenges that we were dealing with. And then I will say that in our firm, we do a great job of onboarding. You know, we really do. And the difference is we have our firm onboarding, but then it is handed off to each practice or each area to train. And so in sales, our sales enablement charge was to be able to onboard and to put together something that was really efficient. And so we put together a really great spreadsheet. Many, many tabs, but we had a great spreadsheet for onboarding. Right, Bob? I got to onboard my boss, by the way. It was a great experience. But those were some of the challenges that we were facing as Baker Tilly at the time.
Got it. Very interesting to hear kind of a look back in time. What led your team to decide to invest in HighSpot, and how did that help solve some of these challenges that were facing the business? Bob, I'd love to pass this one back to you.
Well, I'll ask for maybe some input from Trula as well on this, but the bottom line is, you know, as an organization, we're looking for ways to make the processes more consistent and at the same time more effective. And as Trula suggested, there's an awful lot going on in our organization. There's an awful lot going on in the marketplace, and to create a form of consistency around what they need to know, say, show, and do around sales plays, around pitching and outreach, all of those things combined, it was an opportunity for us to make a difference for our sellers so that we can continue to grow and to generate the revenue that we hope to generate. Trula, would you add anything?
Yeah, you know, when I think about how HighSpot's helped with these challenges, you know, I think one of the interesting things to know is that it actually was on Sales Enablement Pro where I found HighSpot and some other different options. But the really cool thing about that is that when we met with, I believe his name was James Milligan, was my sales rep from HighSpot. And, you know, we met, we had a demo. I'm going to tell you what, it was like an epiphany. It was like, oh my goodness, we need this. So when we brought in Sales Enablement, and we began to use HighSpot, it answered a lot of our questions. And one of the things that we did was we began to use and see that HighSpot could cover from our outreach, from the lead side of things, all the way through the sales pipeline and that process. And so, number one, that was really important to us. That was going to solve a lot of different areas. The other thing it enabled us to do was put a lasso around that content chaos, right? It enabled us to be able to find things. No longer did we have practitioners, salespeople, when they finally found something, they would save it down to their desktop. Well, we all know how that goes. When it gets updated, all of a sudden, we're out, not current anymore, and we're out distributing stuff we don't want to distribute. So HighSpot really helped us with that. To be able to have stuff changed on the fly is amazing. Another thing that we really appreciate is the ability to take the email templates, and we did have them, but to be able to have them in an area that makes sense, right? In context, you know, what to know, what to say, what to show, what to do. Our sales plays were wonderful. They really answered that question for us. And then the email templates that we would pitch, those two were another area that helped us conquer a problem that we had here. One of the other things I really loved also was we really needed a search engine. We needed something where you'd put something in search and actually be able to find it. Honestly, we've never had that like we do now. And that's something that HighSpot has really helped us with. And I guess the only other two things I might say would be, you know, I talked about that problem with differentiating ourselves in the market and in that barrage of emails. The video emails, the opportunity to create a video email and introduce yourself to a new prospect or even reintroduce yourself to a client. It's game changing. It allows us to stand out, to be at least a little bit different than everything else that might be hitting that inbox. And the last thing, of course, I mean, who doesn't get excited with the magic that happens with the email analytics, right? All the engagement that happens when our sellers send out these emails, this outreach, and begin to try and help somebody through their business decisions daily. It helps us because, you know, when you get these analytics back and you can look at a particular page that they might have spent a little extra time on, you know what? It might give you a little insight as to the value add that you can bring. Because many times we offer, you know, three or four different options that somebody should consider. Sure is handy when we can kind of look at that and go, Jio, you know, they were able to spend a little extra time on, you know, a particular value add service. certainly helps us understand what we might follow up with. That's what HighSpots helped us really start to navigate in this whole sales enablement process.
I love that. I love that. And I've also heard at Baker Tilly, you guys have been really thoughtful about how you've implemented HighSpot. And one of the core purchase to that was to ensure that you are aligning on the value with your sales and marketing teams. And I heard that that was absolutely a key part of your strategy. What are your best practices for driving this alignment and conveying the value of enablement to those teams? Bob, I'd love to pass this one back to you again.
Yeah, you bet. We launched HighSpot. Just like any new tool, it wasn't done in a vacuum. The whole organization didn't stop just so that HighSpot could get implemented. And it was interesting, at that same time, marketing was going through a number of their own implementations. So they had a couple things. One, they were implementing a new digital asset management system. So they were trying to get all of their content from all these disparate locations and put it to one portal. And further, they were also doing a content refresh. So they were going through a rebranding, changing some of our color schemes and what have you. And so all their content was being updated. And then we come along on the sales enablement side and said, hey, we'd like to also, you know, throw something else on the plate, which is we want to incorporate this new platform, HighSpot. So kind of setting the table there, then what do we do? There was a high level of anxiety implementing all these things and going through all these changes at the same time. And the first thing that we did was actually not go to marketing. We actually leaned on our HighSpot counterparts. I will say that, you know, Trula and I, we had not implemented a system like this before. This is our first enablement platform, and we didn't know all the ins and outs, the do's and the don'ts, and HighSpot did. And so we had a fantastic account team that would meet with us on a regular basis. And to this day, we still meet regularly to ensure that we're going down the path in the proper way and that we're all set up for success. They also gave us insights related to, you know, possibly interacting with marketing and the best way to do that. And so our next step, Trula and I, was to engage marketing. What is HighSpot? They didn't know what HighSpot was. They didn't have time to research HighSpot. We actually took the senior leadership team through demonstration of the tool. We coordinated it with HighSpot as well. So we were collaborating, making sure that all their questions were answered, all the proper functionality was shared. And we really positioned it from a point of view that, hey, as much as this is a win for us and our sellers on the enablement side of the platform, the reality is it's a fantastic tool for marketing to validate what content is being used, to validate what content is being used and is creating wins, what content is maybe being used but is not creating wins. And we started to share all the data and the wins and the insights that they were going to be able to gain from it as well. And rather quickly, they said, this is a good tool for us as well. So we were able to show the value. But the other thing that we did is we really owned the implementation. And it seems obvious, right? We're sales enablement. We made this purchase. We should own it. Well, the reality is, going back to that scenario, they had so many things on their plate that if for a second we thought that we could just delegate things back to marketing, it was going to get, you know, the talk to the hand. We do not have time. We do not have bandwidth. We do not have resources to help you out. And so to that, we said, we're going to own this every bit of the way. And we needed their help, though. We didn't own every bit of content. In fact, they owned all the lion's share of the content. But what we did is we created a process, you know, what needed to be done, by who, by when. We made it goof-proof so that we could share it with marketing, and then we could follow this and got it approved by marketing. We didn't create it in a vacuum, this process. We used some stakeholders from the marketing team to say, hey, we're good with this. And then not only did I socialize it or Trula socialize it, we had leadership from marketing socialize it with the different stakeholders on their side of the house. And that just created a really, really nice collective, collaborative environment. However, there was one missing piece, and there's one stakeholder that was also critical to the success in addition to marketing and had a play with both enablement and marketing, and that was our IT department. We call them growth technologies, but our IT department, and ensure that all the effort and work that was going on with the digital access management system, with the sales enablement platform HighSpot, the rebranding and content and other platforms that we had to collapse and coordinate some work with, they came to the table as well. And a big win that we did, which was an investment weekly, twice a week, marketing, IT, and sales enablement would get on a call and we would provide status updates to our project. We had a collective project plan that we worked through to ensure that the implementation was going smoothly. Last but not least, on the enablement side of the house, we really ensured that we had enough time to do this job. Like anything else, we wanted this done yesterday. We wanted it done as quickly as we possibly could, but we set the table appropriately. We shared that with our stakeholders that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day type thing, that we needed to have the proper time to, one, learn HighSpot, two, to partner with marketing, and three, to set up the pages and the collateral so that it was successful for all. And by giving ourselves that time, we were able to, and following some of those tactics or those steps, I think that we had a very successful implementation when it's all said and done.
I would certainly say so based on some of the insights and data that we've seen as well. But you also helped to drive adoption of the platform by running trainings with all of the divisions you support and offering ongoing office hours. Can you share a little bit more about this approach and the impact that it had on the adoption of the platform, Trula?
Yes. You know, we've learned a lot, to say the least, right? You don't know what you don't know. But we had a two-phased approach. The first was we had hands-on training. And I say that because the Baker-Tilly way of doing training is a little bit, you know, different than what we decided to do. We decided to offer, the first phase anyway, 10 different training sessions. And so Bob and I, we put out, you know, all the information, how great of a tool this was. And we gave them the opportunity to sign up for the different calendar times that we had put out there. And we probably got about half of our active users that we had given licenses to at that point in time. So Bob and I came back together and it was like, gosh, we still got another half that we need to get active, right? And so we made a little change in that and we rolled out our second part of that. And what one of the things we did was we sent out to everybody who was offered a license three different times and we put them on their calendar and we said they're optional, choose one. And so some people were intentional, went through right away, accepted, deleted, whatever. Some of them used it in such a way that it sat on their calendars and served as a reminder because they show tentative, right? And so one of the things that we had learned was that was working a lot better for us. And so what I wanted to convey to my team was we need to do this again, right? We need to do another three. And so that's what we did. We did three more sessions. And so we ended up getting the amount of active users that we needed to get by putting on calendar reminders. It's crazy. Something simple like that would do it. But in our firm, typically it's go and sign up, you know, and leave it in more of a passive way. The other thing that we did, we offered office hours and we did it as a drip campaign. What we did was we would tell them each week what our tip of the week would be. And we had sent these office hours out on every salesperson's calendar so they could accept it or, you know, turn it down. But we would tell them what that tip was. And then one of the things we did was we would put those tips in that week's appointment. And by doing so, you'd save it. It would remind them. It would go in and update on their calendars. And so that ended up being a great way to get people interested in different tips that we did on HighSpot. The really nice thing, though, was every office hours, the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes occasionally, was spent with us giving them a tip, how to. We would record that, we would edit it, and then we would use that as our tip page. We would start with that video recording that they could watch. We also would build out step-by-step process of what they could do that gave them the directions, step one, step two, step three, and it would have a screenshot with it. The combination of the video and those plays worked great. They are still part of our learning sales university right now in HighSpot. So we were able to kill two birds with one stone. And I was going to say, the other thing I wanted to mention is that Recently, our office hours were given in such a way that Bob and I were discussing how we can make these better. And we have salespeople and we have partners that have gotten very excited about HighSpot and ways that it is helping them. And so one of the things that we are going to be doing going forward is bringing in some of our users, some of our salespeople, and having them show, what's the tip you learned this week? What did you find easy? Did you find a new way to do an outreach, a video? You know, what does it look like from a seller's perspective? And so that's something we're excited to start doing here soon. And the last thing I will mention is we also started a HighSpot Headlines. That is where we call out every week bite-sized pieces that they might have missed during the week so that they can quickly glance at it and see, is there anything that I want to know about? And so that HighSpot Headlines has been very helpful in keeping everybody up to date on what's going into HighSpot, especially those that aren't yet in there every day. It is something that is helpful going forward.
I love that. Those are excellent hands-on tips and tricks to get folks into the platform. And it seems like it has been working. I will say we looked at some of your adoption metrics, especially for some of the different capabilities in HighSpot. And you guys have seen a lot of success in a lot of areas. A couple I would love to get some insights from you on. You've seen a lot of success with pitch. You guys have, I think, 95% pitch adoption. Can you tell us about your pitch strategy and how it has helped your team improve productivity?
You know, we are very proud of what we've accomplished here. This really gave us insight into the best way to train our sellers, but it also gave them the ability to send their first pitch in training. And then we came around and challenged them to send a pitch after training so that that would be something that they would know how to do. It wouldn't have been the first time. Some of the key takeaways that we got about our pitch area that we thought would help is, you know, all of our attendees were able during training to send a pitch, both using Outlook and using HighSpot in two different ways. We also were able to take them the minute they sent it during training live. Bob and I would be there. They would send it to us. We would be on there right away, engaging with that email for them so that they would get engagement metrics immediately. That began to start to sink in even more. People were getting excited about it. The other thing we did was, in addition to those engagement updates, we were able to go in and show them Salesforce. Look at how these records are automatically, you know, Bob and Trula, Salesforce account records, let me tell you what, we look pretty good. I'm telling you, we got a lot of activity. But it was really good for them to see it all come together, you know, from the pitching to the engagement analytics to how it does their work for them in Salesforce. And, you know, the one thing we probably learned most out of pitch is that the biggest thing in our organization that we have had to help them get over is confidence. Confidence and trust in the system. And one of the things that we offer to everybody is if you are doing this and you're sending a pitch and you're just scared to death, this is an important one, you don't want to screw it up, that really is a big concern. And so we would always offer, hey, hit Bob up, hit me up, hit us up on chat. We're happy to look over your shoulder. We're happy to help you send your first one. It began to give them more peace and comfort and confidence to do it because they were having to learn a new technology. And so pitching, you know, it's like being put in the spotlight, right? What if I send this wrong? What if I send it to the wrong person? What if something goes awry? We were able to spend time with them to do that. And I think giving them confidence is one of the biggest parts of being ready to pitch and getting out there and doing it.
I love that. And that is a phenomenal offer to your field teams. Now, on a similar vein, you have achieved 81% adoption of your sales plays. Tell us a little bit about that. How are you leveraging sales plays to help drive productivity?
A couple of ways that I think have helped, and that is we are spotlighting our sales plays. We do it, as I mentioned earlier, in our HighSpot headlines. We also are spotlighting those. Honestly, and I think Bob would say the same, every time we have a conversation and HighSpot is in it, we are evangelizing the sales plays because for our firm, they are the one-stop shop. They're an information bundle that they never had access to at this level. And so when they can go to a sales play and they can see what they need to know about it, they can look at the expertise we have, and they look at what they need to say, show, and do, the more that we continue to make these as robust as we can, I think they're only going to continue to improve. Another thing that I thought Bob did well is, you know, when we onboard our sales team now, one of the things we do is we onboard from HighSpot. We take them right into the tool. We're showing them, number one, how to use HighSpot. Number two, about the sales plays. So if that particular seller is coming in a particular industry, we can go to that industry sales kit, show them what it is that is out there, what they have, what is being expected. And it's so much easier when you have everything in one place. It really does help navigate Baker Tilly because, you know, the one thing about our firm, we have a lot of service industry experience. We have a lot of areas and new products that are being rolled out. And so nobody in this firm knows everything we do. And so by finally having a place that we can put everything in one place, these sales plays are just, they're a hit. They're something that people can use also as resource tools. And that's the last point I'll make is that we have received a lot of requests for getting into HighSpot and looking at these sales plays because our resource managers, our marketing team, our learning team, and even our deal desk, they use our sales plays and other information in HighSpot to guide them, to help the rest of the firm and get them the information that they need.
I love hearing that. Now, we've also seen in our research that customers are experiencing some incredible business impact with HighSpot, including an average 16% increase in win rate. Beyond adoption of the platform, what are some of the business results that you've achieved since implementing HighSpot, Bob?
You know, I think that there's two things that really jump out. First is that we're seeing that our content's being consumed. So with the tool, we're able to actually look at the analytics. And just in the first few months, we had VR pitches, which we've been very successful at getting those implemented. More than 81 hours of our content is being reviewed by our buyers. So in collective, that's significant. So that's good news. We're getting in front of the people, and we're sending it to stakeholders that are looking at it and reviewing it. The other metric that I think is pretty powerful, because you know it's the revenue number. And although I don't have closed numbers that I'm able to share, I can say this. In the first couple months that we launched the tool, we had more than $2 million in pipeline revenue influenced via pitch functionality by using HighSpot. So we're able to get in front of a lot of potential business. And we're also, you know, that business that we're getting in front of, we're actually able to validate that the messaging and the information that we're sharing is being reviewed.
I love that. And last question. You mentioned that Baker Tilly's investment in an enablement team and technology is a competitive differentiator for the company. Why is investment in enablement a competitive advantage in today's market, Bob?
Well, there's a couple things that come to mind there too. The first one is you got to invest in enablement for two core reasons, in my view. Number one, the velocity of change. Change inside and outside the organization happens quicker than we can keep track of. And if we expect a seller to not only sell, but to keep track of that change, we're probably going to set ourselves up for some disappointment. There are some that could do that well, but I think some, that's the outlier. It's not the majority. You need an enablement team to stay up with that change and to be able to filter through it so that we can get the appropriate information to the seller at the time that they need it so that they can be successful. And then the second reason I think it's really important to invest is because the buying process constantly evolves. It's constantly changing. It's becoming more dynamic. There's more research and insight and information available to a buyer than there's ever been before. And if we are, again, going to expect the seller to stay up with all of those different types of insights and information, in addition to what they're doing on their side of the house, what the buyers are doing, they're going to really, again, struggle to do that. But I see an organization, many organizations saying, hey, they use the Nike philosophy, just do it. Sellers, just do it. And the reality is many sellers don't know how or what to just do. And by investing in an enablement department, team, you will be able to separate yourselves from your competition, because you're going to be able to provide that education, that information, and support to your sellers so that you do generate revenue. And at the same time, you reduce the complexity of their job. And I guess I stand by my belief that I said when I opened. Sales enablement, I truly believe, is the most important job in the organization. Without enablement, we're not going to equip our sellers to generate the revenue that that they potentially could. So for those reasons, I think that enablement is a very, very worthy cause as relating to investing, where investment should go from an organization.
I could not agree more. Bob Trula, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciated your time and your insights.
Thank you.
To our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insights on how you can maximize enablement success with HighSpot.